I was sweating stickily and uncomfortably at the Hampton Inn outside the Miami International Airport, waiting for my orientation coordinator to get off her phone. 6 months prior, I had applied to study abroad in Chile for the first semester of my junior year, and this was the first time that I would finally get to meet the other students that had applied to program locations in South America. As I was fanning myself like a madwoman, one of the girls sitting beside me tapped my shoulder. "Where are you from?" she asked warmly, over the hum of chatter throughout the room. "I'm from Kentucky," I said, with my brightest, most ebullient smile. She paused in confusion and muttered, "Oh, that's nice." A guy sitting at the table across from mine had overheard our conversation.
"Wait, you're from Kentucky?"
he laughed.
"You're one of those stupid hillbillies, aren't you?"
The room went silent, and I felt my smile crack. For the first 12 years of my life, I lived 30 miles south from San Francisco. The notion that I would ever be called a hillbilly was just as insane as the notion that I would end up living on Mars someday. But even so, those are my cultural roots that I don't always wear on my sleeve because of the stigma surrounding where I live. I am recording this podcast to address all the people that think, because of where I live, I must be a stupid hillbilly. To those people, no, I am not. Neither are my neighbors or my friends or my family members. The word hillbilly isn't quaint. Merriam-Webster identifies it as having a disparaging and offensive connotation, akin to a slur. In times such as these, when we have never before made such magnificent strides toward an equal society free of discrimination against any group, why is it still acceptable to discriminate against this group of people? Ashley York, director of the documentary Hillbilly, may have some of the answers.
There's a lack of critical discourse about it. The way that they ridicule or make jokes about rural people or mountain people, it's not okay. These stereotypes have been around for so long. I mean, you know, you start seeing them in around 1900, and of course it corresponds directly to, you know, a corporate and urban interest coming in to take away from the region. If you want to take something from someone, you can put them down. You can devalue them. And I think there just really hasn't been enough consciousness in the culture to help people understand, you know, what they're doing.
Along with her co-director, Sally Rubin, York has been working on this documentary for years. They have won numerous awards for their work on Hillbilly, including winning Best Documentary Feature at the Los Angeles Film Festival and being selected for the American Film Showcase. I was able to interview her about her documentary and about her views on these stereotypes.
This is a movie that we've been making for more than 5 years now, and we began with a very specific focus of telling a story about media representations of Appalachia and the people who live there. And, you know, where we landed at the end of a very intensive process was leaning into the personal and trying to understand what these representations are about, who they affect, and what the long-lasting impacts of them are.
The Appalachian stereotype is mainly perpetuated by the media's negative portrayals of the folks from this area through popular books, film and TV, and news outlets. One of the most popular portrayals of the Appalachian way of life is the book Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance. A fellow community member of mine had some thoughts on the book.
I felt when I was reading the book that there was an undertone of blaming those who live in eastern Kentucky or Appalachia for their circumstances. I felt that there was an emphasis on his hard work to escape the negative circumstances that he found himself in. And the flip side of that is that it seemed to me that there was a blaming of those who could not do exactly what he did in order to escape their own negative circumstances.
This woman is my mother. She is one of the smartest, strongest people I know.
Testing, testing. Hello. Hey, Ansley.
But even still.
I was in graduate school in North Carolina, and I was on a business, you know, outing for the day with some people that I worked with, who, and these were all people who were highly educated and who worked at a nonprofit. And we stopped for gas, and we went inside, and there was a man in this convenience store who was talking with the cashier about some aspect of the stock market. And when we got back in the car to leave, my colleagues made fun of him. My colleagues made fun of the fact that they doubted that someone who sounded and looked the way he did could possibly be intelligent enough to make those sorts of financial decisions. And it made me feel very much less than, because I knew that that was my heritage and that's where I came from. And so if he couldn't possibly be smart enough to make those sorts of statements, then I must not be either.
From pop culture, film, and TV, MTV's show Buck Wild aired its first episode in 2013. The premise of the show is that a group of young adults, most of whom were in their late teens to early 20s, would do reckless things for fun and laughs, and drama wouldn't ensue.
You know, I remember when that show came out, teaching, and I remember showing the trailer to my class and, you know, sort of raising it as a point about this really offensive representation of a place very similar to where I grew up and, you know, this show that was exploiting these kids, and that was doing it so methodically.
In April of 2013, one of the main members of the show, Shane Gandy, died in an off-roading accident. Not only are these stereotypes discriminatory and offensive, but they're dangerous as well.
And that was around the time when Orange is the New Black came out.
Highly rated by its viewers for its quality acting and diverse cast, Orange is the New Black shows a more complex look on LGBT women.
And that show was, I mean, it's great, right? I mean, it's so progressive with respect to the way it represents gender and sexuality. But of course, when it comes to the rural character, Pizzatucky, you know, I mean, she is just the embodiment of every stereotype that exists about mountain people. From love Mountain Dew to having multiple abortions to shooting up an abortion clinic to having terrible teeth to being violent. You know, it's like she's just this hybrid of all of these stereotypes.
In the wonderful, diverse range of actresses in this show, Doggett is the only one that has been stereotyped.
It seems to me that in our present circumstances, even individuals who are willing to donate money and fight very hard on behalf of injustices, perhaps based on gender, perhaps based on race, those individuals may be willing to mock the uneducated or those who, for example, live in Eastern Kentucky or Appalachia. I witnessed this in 2015 when we had quite a bit of publicity in our county surrounding Kim Davis, who was the county clerk who refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses. And while that was certainly something that I did not agree with, I also took umbrage with, for example, stories written by the New York Times that really seemed to characterize our county as one full of trailers and sawmills.
CBS News anchor Bill Maher, when votes were still being counted in Alabama and Mississippi in the 2012 election, tweeted, "Toothless Tuesday, too tight to tally. We're gathered around the magic picture box with a bowl of grits watching the returns come in." This representation is demeaning.
So long as that sort of stereotyping goes on unchecked, it's hard to make much progress towards, I guess, debunking the Appalachian stereotype.
This type of stereotyping has been going on for decades, but I have an idea as to how we can stop it. Unlike societal concepts such as racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, and Islamophobia, this type of discrimination doesn't have a name. The term that comes closest is elitism, but there are no terms that are Appalachia-specific. I suggest that we make one, maybe Appalachialism. We can use that term to call out others that use slurs like hillbilly to describe people from this area. Most importantly, the creation and acceptance of this word would permit a line of defense to be established so the people would understand what was acceptable and what was not.
I have a lot of confidence in the people of this country specifically to overcome this limited thinking that they have about rural people and people who are impoverished and people of color and all the other people, you know, who are other in one way or another. I absolutely have full confidence that we can move to a place of greater understanding.
I'm from Kentucky. It's not where I was born or even raised, but it is a real place with real people who deserve the respect of others. And it is a place that I am proud to call home. So please, do not call us hillbillies.